Welcome back to the Fightcasters. Well, I guess we can't really say welcome back since this is the inaugural episode. But I'm Andy Samus from Las Vegas Sun. I'll be your show host. I'm a boxing MMA writer, and I'm joined today by Jeff Haney, also a boxing UFC and gambling guru for the Las Vegas Sun.
Great to be here.
And also Brett Okamoto.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, how are you doing, Brett? Well, the Battle of East and West, it's been about 2 months of talking, and now we're really kind of talked out of it. Jeff, what is your just overall feel of this fight right now?
There has been a lot of talk, as well it should be. I mean, this is the most hotly anticipated fight of the year so far anyway, that it remains to be seen whether there will be another one similar hype-wise and anticipation-wise later in the year. But for now, this is the one. May 2nd, the clash takes place at junior welterweight, which is 140 pounds. Manny Pacquiao, everyone's number one fighter pound for pound, the consensus best boxer in the sport, against Ricky Hatton, who has a huge following in his native Britain, of course, and is undefeated at 140. A lot of storylines, a lot of ways to analyze the matchup. One of the most basic is that it's Pacquiao's hand speed, foot speed, and technical ability against Hatton's physicality and more brute force as opposed to Pacquiao. So it's it makes for an intriguing matchup. Both guys strong personalities, strong fighters. Either one of these boxers could carry pretty much the entire promotion, no matter who they're fighting. And here they are fighting each other. So it's easy to see why there's a lot of hype surrounding this fight.
And obviously, there's no really American in the main event, but do you think that that's going to take away from this fight? Because Bob Arum didn't when he made his comments the other day. And let's listen to those real quick.
The pride of England, Ricky Hatton, and the pride of the Philippines, Manny Pacquiao. Two great fighters fighting it out in a ring which is the center of entertainment in the world, Las Vegas, at the MGM Grand. That's what this is all about. People come up and say, well, there's no American in the main event. Aren't you going to get hurt? Yeah, we really got hurt. That's why there's not one ticket left for the fight. And that's why we're going to do such great business on pay-per-view. Because Americans aren't xenophobic. Americans aren't just focused on Americans fighting. Americans will go to their pockets and will see an event where they believe they will be entertained and they will see two great fighters facing each other in the ring coming from the ends of the earth.
Okay, well, that was Bob Arum talking about, you know, the fight and how he thinks that it might even break some records. Also, De La Hoya the other day at the press conference said Mexican-Americans are really into this fight, too. Can you kind of explain that angle, Jeff?
Yeah, certainly. As far as neither main event participant being an American, that's kind of the nature of the beast in boxing these days. It's the sport has really taken on a very strong international flavor. And when you say that, the first thing that comes to mind are the Mexicans, who have been at the top of the sport in recent years. You think of guys like Juan Manuel Marquez and Eric Morales, Barrera, the list goes on. And
well, now is that just Pacquiao's list? Because that's what it sounds like.
that actually plays into why I believe De La Hoya said this fight will be popular among Mexican Americans, not just because that demographic traditionally contains a lot of big boxing fans, but also because they have such a vested interest in Pacquiao for the simple reason that he vanquished so many of their heroes, one after the other.
And also, there's a limited edition Ducati cans, which if you buy them, the $20 rebate. So, you know, get out there, tough times. A couple deals out there for this fight. Well, let's get into a couple story angles first. Like you were talking about, it's a fight between power and speed. How does that shape up in your mind?
Certainly, I don't think anyone would argue the point that Pacquiao owns the advantage in both hand, feet, and foot speed. However, that doesn't mean Hatton's a slouch in either department. Hatton has some speed of his own. He's a quick, exciting fighter with both speed and power in both hands, much like Pacquiao. Pacquiao's trainer Freddie Roach, among other people, has said repeatedly that speed is going to be the number one key to this fight, and the number one key to a Pacquiao victory, as he predicts it. So Pacquiao does have the edge in that department. It's a matter of whether Hatton can make up for it in other areas.
I mean, but having never lost at 140, and Pacquiao only fighting over 140 once, Hatton kind of said that he feels like he's being overlooked a lot. He's never, like, you know, he's dominated this division. He's known him for being a bully. Let's hear what he has to say about how he feels like just a lot of people are overlooking his hand speed and his power.
I'm not really going to say too much and tell you what my views of the fight was. I think I've done enough interviews with you all, and reading the, you know, on the websites and the magazines and the papers, I think you've all made your mind up already. But that doesn't scare me. I've been here before. This overhyped, overprotected, you know, fat beer-drinking Englishman. He's going to shock the world again. I think it started off when I fought Kostyuzu when I first won this title, which seems a lifetime away now. I think, what was that, 5-6 years ago when I first won this title against Kostyuzu? I think I started off at a 5-1 underdog. So it doesn't scare me being in this position again. This is my weight division. Manny is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, so I understand him being that. I am the underdog, and I understand why a lot of people are picking over me, especially with his exceptional wins over Oscar recently and how well he's looking with each fight. But they say the battle of East and West, and we're going to meet in the centre of the ring. All I've got to say is I will see you all and Manny in the centre of that ring Saturday night. Thank you.
Okay, well, that was the Hitman talking about, you know, how he feels like he's a little bit of an underdog, and he's comfortable with that role. Obviously, he's kind of been fighting his whole life, and he seems pretty relaxed. He said that was something that he got caught up in a little hoopla when he lost to Mayweather his last time in this situation. Now, they both fought recently in Vegas with Hatton beating Malignaggi, Pauly Malignaggi in November, and Manny destroying De La Hoya in his last fight. How much do those factor in? Are those kind of rarities or one-time deals, or can you really gauge how this one might go down because of those fights?
Yeah, even at the time when we were watching those two fights, I don't think we realized, except maybe way in the back of our brains somewhere, that these were kind of preliminaries to this big May 2nd fight. I wasn't exactly thinking along those lines, but that's the way it turned out. I remember in the build-up to the Hatton's fight against Malignaggi, as it turned out, Hatton handled Malignaggi fairly easily. But at the time, I remember that Malignaggi was what they call a trendy pick to pull off the upset and beat Hatton. A lot of respected people around boxing were saying that maybe Malignaggi's speed and his elusive qualities in the ring would be enough to do Hatton in. And that's not what happened. Hatton won the fight very convincingly. The rap on Malignaggi heading in was that he lacked firepower, and that was certainly evident as it turned out. In fact, in the lead up to Saturday's fight, Freddie Roach had a good comment on the Malignaggi Hatton fight. He said Hatton just did what he was supposed to do. He fought, in Roach's words, he fought a guy who couldn't break an egg, and he won handily. So in the mind of Freddie Roach, Pacquiao's trainer, that particular fight proved very little, even though Hatton scored a nice win in it. You know, you could say similar questions surround Pacquiao's last fight.
Because obviously the other outspoken trainer, Floyd Mayweather Sr., right, who I think he hasn't met a quote he hasn't liked.
That's fair to say about Big Floyd.
You know, obviously he thinks that De La Hoya was dehydrated and a shell of his former self in that fight, and he doesn't think that Pacquiao really got the marquee win that everyone else does.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a pretty common perception throughout boxing. Actually, Big Floyd does go out on his own limb on certain topics, but that's not one of them. He's reflecting the conventional wisdom there, that Pacquiao simply beat up a shot Oscar De La Hoya, not the De La Hoya we had come to know and admire over so many years.
Well, let's get into the trainers, too. How much of do you think is scripted? Because as far as the fighters go, they've been about as cordial as possible without making a few predictions. And obviously, you got to believe in yourself and back yourself up. But they really, there's no trash talking amongst Pacquiao and Hatton. How much of that is just for maybe the buildup for the 24/7 show and really trying to promote the fight with two outspoken trainers? Or is it deep down they just don't like each other?
My perception is it's not that deep down. I think they're doing it for the sake of the promotion. I think, Mayweather in particular, and Roach as well, I think they look at this as a chance to go out there and let loose and have fun, and they know their respective fighters are both very polite guys. In fact, guys who maybe go out of their way a little too much to be polite, and in a sport like boxing that thrives on guys shooting their mouths off leading up the fights. So maybe both guys, of course, both are top trainers. You know, you can say that either one of them could be considered, you know, the top one or two when it comes to ranking the trainers in the sport. So they're comfortable in their abilities. They're comfortable in their skill as trainers. So maybe they thought they would just have a little fun. Mayweather in particular has never been one to shy away from the spotlight whenever he can grab it. We all know he likes writing and reading his humorous poetry and getting off insults, some of which are clever, some of which Roach correctly described as being on the second grade or third grade level. But overall, it's been a lot of fun. It makes people smile, makes people laugh. Floyd is very colorful. Freddie is one of the what we in journalism call one of the best go-to quote guys in the game. He'll always tell you what's going on. He's a straight shooter, so you know both guys are straight shooters. Floyd a little bit flamboyant. Both guys like to have fun. I think they're doing it more for the sake of the promotion rather than due to some deep-seated hatred between the two of them.
Now we both heard, like you're talking, Mayweather's poem there two or three times, I think, in all these open workouts. But I have to admit, the Wednesday one was pretty funny, just for the line when he talks about Oscar De La Hoya, and then with the Golden Boy being right there and kind of nudging him back, that had everybody kind of in stitches.
It was a good moment. Floyd definitely gets off with a good one now and then, even more than now and then. I always like Floyd. I once asked him if he was a fan of the show Deaf Poetry Jam, because he reminded me of a competitor on that, or someone who would do well on that show. And he was vaguely aware of it, but he didn't
wow,
count himself,
I mean,
as
surprised
a,
me
as an
you're
actual
dropping
fan.
This Deaf Poetry Jam on us. Let's go to, there are also a couple special guests for this fight. Brett, there's one in particular who is, well, actually both of them are making their first appearances in the United States. Let's talk about James Bowes.
Yeah, well, James Bowes is really an amazing story. He's 20 years old now, and he grew up in the same estate that in Manchester, actually, where Ricky was born. And he was born with a brain disease called hydrocephalus, which is basically water on the brain. It creates this constant pressure on the brain. At the age of 10, doctors only gave him a few months to live. And so as a dying wish, James, you know, he wanted to go. He became a boxing fan at age 9. And, of course, you know, if you're a boxing fan in Britain, you know, there's one name, and that's Ricky Hatton. And so he went over to Ricky Hatton's gym.
There's only one Ricky Hatton? What was
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Only one Ricky Hatton. And
yeah, we will only hear that song about, what, 1,000 times?
If you haven't heard
Saturday
it, you
night?
Will definitely hear it out there if you're out of the fight. Yeah. But James, you know, he went out to Ricky's gym. He met Ricky, and, you know, Ricky was really inspired by him. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to Ricky, and Ricky said that he's always been a source of inspiration for him. And here it is 8 years later. And, you know, little James has defied all the odds. You know, he flew into Las Vegas for the first time in the United States. It was only his second plane ride of his life. He flew in. He arrived on Thursday. And, you know, just a great story. He was happy to be here. He was excited to be here. He knew he was expecting me to show up at his hotel room. And I knock on the door, and this kid opens the door, and he's wearing a big, you know, Ricky Hatton T-shirt. And he's like, you know, ask me anything you want. Ask me whatever you want. And, you know, it took him a while to warm up to me. You could tell he was a little shy. But then once you start talking about Ricky Hatton, you know, you can tell it's you can see why it's prolonged his life as long as it has, because he's so fired up about it. He wants him to win so bad.
Now, do you think that they put him up in Circus, right? Now, is that because he's not quite 21, or what's going on there, Haddon? I mean,
yeah, put him in Circus. It was
Las Vegas. Give up a little money, maybe a Bellagio.
Yeah, or? after the talk, you know, it was like I was talking to his uncle. That's who he flew out here with, and I was like, so Circus, yeah. And the uncle was like, yeah, you know, it was one of those last second things, and we weren't sure who was going to pay for it. So, you know, we just booked it over at Circus. And James was like, I don't care where I'm at as long as I'm here. And we're like, that's a good way of looking at it. You know, it's like, it's the first time I'd been in Circus, and I've, you know, live in Las Vegas, live in America. And so, but he's enjoying it. He's having a good time. He's happy to be here. And he'll actually be carrying Ricky's belt out in Ricky's entrance. And he says he likes to dance to the Blue Moon and get the crowd riled up, and so we'll see him on fight night.
Well, that's a great story. And then the second one is Manny Pacquiao's mom, Dionisio Pacquiao, is also coming to the United States for the first time, and that'd be a really unique and cool feeling. Just remember the first time that you drove out down the strip. I mean, it's a pretty crazy feeling, and she did that on a Monday night. And you know, she's not going to watch the actual fight live because she doesn't want to watch her son ringside. But it's got, you know, he said that he's going to be inspired from his mom, and here's what Pacquiao had to say about that.
My mom, she feels nervous when she want to watch the fight before, but right now, I think she had a strong heart to watch the fight. I've been telling her before that why you don't try to watch it live in my fight, but she don't want to watch that.
Why is that?
Make you any more nervous at all? That your mom
she want to, you know, stay in the home and pray.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll make you any more nervous? The fact that your mom is finally here, like, okay, really, I have to perform more so this time than most.
I mean, it's give more inspiration to have my mom here in the fight.
All right. Well, that was Manny talking about his mom, Pack Mom, I guess you could call it. That's what I wrote anyway. All right, well, let's make some predictions. I heard there's a couple people here known to bet time or two. Pacquiao's a minus 270 favorite. That's a pretty substantial number. Who are you going with, Jeff?
I'm predicting a victory for Pacquiao. I'm going to predict a victory by 12-round unanimous decision for Pacquiao. I see Pacquiao is the more talented fighter. I see him getting the job done. But I don't see it as an easy fight by any means. I believe Pacquiao will certainly not put Haddon away early, or I would be very surprised if that's the outcome. I see it as a tough battle. I think Haddon can certainly hold his own, make a good fight of it. I could see Pacquiao maybe pulling away late, but never doing quite enough to knock Haddon out or stop him. So predicting a win for Pacquiao, it's worth I think a regular size bet at that standard price around Las Vegas, minus 270 is I guess the latest we saw. It bet up from around 220 in some spots earlier this week. So the money is coming in for Pacquiao. So I'm going with Pacquiao to win the fight.
Okay, Brett, and what's your pick?
You know, I've been talking to some people about their predictions, you know, to put up on our site as a list. And I talked to Paul Williams, who recently scored a unanimous decision over Winky Wright. And he said, you know, this is too close. I can't pick it. I'm surprised at, you know, where Vegas has it, because to me, it's a pick and fight. And I agree with Paul Williams. I would not bet on this fight personally, just because.
Sorry about that.
Just because, you know, if I have to pick a winner, I'm picking Pacquiao. But I mean, I don't feel comfortable enough to give him a minus 270, and I really think that the December fight played into this big time, because you know, if you just remember, 4 short months ago, you know, everyone was saying that Pacquiao didn't have a chance against De La Hoya, and you know, with that fight, you know, Pacquiao's status has, you know, blossomed into the heights that we see it right now, and you know, I think that has led to, you know, what the line looks like. And you know, I was there. I saw Oscar De La Hoya fight. I'm one of the people who have bought into that hype, I guess, where Oscar was not Oscar that night. And you know, I'm not saying that Ricky Haddon is now my favorite, but you know, I think it's going to be a lot closer fight than a lot of people are anticipating. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Haddon put him away in a middle round.
Unfortunately, Fightcaster listeners out there can't see the grin on your face right now about not making that bet, so I'm going to go ahead and say you probably will. I can't really decide. I mean, this is a there's not a guy that you're cheering for here, right, Jeff? I mean, both of them are great guys. You know, they represent their country, so just good guys. We both talked to them one-on-one so many times, and amazing, really, in the fight game in general, but how receptive these guys are to the interviews, and there are a lot of requests.
Also, they're both men of the people. They both are beloved in their homelands, the Philippines for Pacquiao and England for Hatton, of course. And they're proud of that. They're proud of their heritage. They wear it well. And, yeah, both guys are among the good guys in the sport.
Well, like Brett, since I probably won't bet on this one. Yeah, right. How about I say I'll take Hatton for the win? Need a little bit of money and Pacquiao by a ninth round knockout to hedge him.
Oh, really? Well, you know what? Maybe I will put some money on Pacquiao then. Maybe ninth round Hatton. We'll see what happens.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the inaugural edition of the Fightcasters, I guess is what we're going to call it, until we can, yeah, Black and Blue Radio. I don't know. We'll figure something out here. But check out all our coverage this weekend at LasVegasSun.com, and we'll see you the same fight channel, same fight time. All right, thank you.
See ya.